Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
That leaves Larry and David A.R. White alone, right? And this is where Larry explains that he thinks maybe this is a God thing.
God does actually do dreams of mystery.
I've read that, really?
A couple of sources.
I've heard that before, dreams of mystery.
You know who's a great source for stuff on this? John Hagee. He predicts the shit out of things. He's on point with predictions.
Man, I thought we were done with war crimes when we mentioned Iran.
Yeah, right.
But no, John Hagee's going to make an appearance.
God-awful movie.
Movies.
Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema with gusto. I'm your host, No Illusions, and sitting 700 miles to my immediate left is my good friend, Heath Enright. Heath, welcome back.
We got David A.R. White.
Me too.
I'm so excited.
It's always great to have him on the show.
He's so sad and wet. He's damp. He's always damp.
Desperately grasping a simpler time when he also wasn't very successful. Now, Eli is off this week, but in his stead, I'm excited to welcome in veteran guest masochist and the co-host of the No Rogan Experience and Cognitive Dissonance, Cecil Cicerello. Cecil, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. I thought you guys would have tore through all the David A.R. White movies by
now.
How did you find this gem?
His oeuvre is large.
It is.
Caliente.
It is. You can see it through his pants in this one, yeah. So tell us, Heath, what will we be breaking down today?
We watched, in the blink of an eye, the 2009 one, not the more recent one that was very confusing
yeah.
at the end of last week's episode. It's the story of David A.R. White finding a way to rent a boat and some jet skis and get a tax write-off from God.
Abso-goddamn-lutely.
Amazing.
And Cecil, how bad was this tax write-off?
If you wish the groundhog in Groundhog Day was Pastor John Hagee telling you that what a danger Iran is, you're going to love this movie. I mean, this movie is made for you.
Cecil's not just saying crazy things. Those will both be brought up in the movie. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no groundhog. But other than that, it's all there.
What I love is the bait and switch in this film, right?
It's so good.
It's the most deceptive description that we've ever seen on GAMP. Here is how this movie was presented. Just keep this in mind throughout everything that we describe. Quote, after police detectives save a pop star, her manager invites them for a weekend in Mexico on his yacht. But the perfect vacation turns to terror when his wife and friends go missing.
Bum, bum, bum.
Does not sound like a fucking Rapture Groundhog Day at all.
Nope.
Never guessed that from the description. Okay, is there anything you guys want to nominate this one for being the best and being the worst at?
Best worst, this movie is couples therapy gone wrong for David A.R. White and Andrea Logan White. Now just Andrea Logan, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because they have divorced and there's so many... Like, the movie wants to be prophetic and talk about biblical prophecy, but this movie, in real life, is doing prophecy about this marriage crumbling to the ground. It's so good.
Isn't it? And what's amazing, you know, Cecil was talking about how is there one of these movies that you haven't watched yet. Imagine how much less fun this would have been if we'd watched it 5-6 years ago before they got divorced, right? Like, everything is so much better in that.
Oh, it's so much better.
In retrospect.
Yeah, it's just like you could see the writing on the wall the whole time.
He tries to adjudicate couples therapy stuff in his favor in his script that he wrote.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's really good.
All right, so I'm going to go with best worst pop star.
Solid pick.
35-year-old woman. She's like, no, I'll just put a little streak of red in my hair and I...
No, she's a bad girl.
Yeah, that and best worst pop song.
Well, that too,
they play that over and over and that's just a club in this movie. I'm going to go with best worst geopolitics tangent scene out of nowhere. Nowhere. Everybody's notes around that scene are like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Surely Once this again. Will come back. Surely this is ham-fistedly setting something up. It is. It is, by the way, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got the exact same thing to talk about over and over again after this break. So we need to pause for a strategy session, but we'll be back in a minute with all the repetitive bullshit that is in the blink of an eye.
Hey, podcast listener. Do you have trouble hearing the voices when watching movies or TV shows? With modern day films and shows, more and more people are having to use subtitles or crank the volume just to understand what the actors are saying, even if they don't have hearing problems. Or maybe you're a person with a crazy job who watches terrible movies all the time, with starring roles for renowned actors like Audi O'Hiss. Or maybe the movie is shot with a flip phone on a goat rescue farm and the goats are all viscerally hating the guy who's making the movie and the goats are yelling condescending bleats from the background the whole time. Or maybe the movie has a big scene at a pickleball court with a super important discussion about the Bible and all you can hear in that scene is a giant argument from the next court about whether a shot was in or out. Well, regardless of the details, if you're tired of constantly reading subtitles, rewinding, or asking, what did they just say? There's a fix to all of that. An AccuVoice soundbar from Zevox. Zevox's soundbars use patented technology called AccuVoice that lifts voices from the background music and sound effects, making the dialogue crystal clear and easy to understand, even at low volumes. These soundbars are also great for shows with British accents and sports broadcasts with loud crowd noise. So if you or a family member struggle with voices on TV, visit Zevox.com and check out their lineup of AccuVoice soundbars. They offer a 60-day home trial plus free shipping. And right now, God Awful Movies listeners can save 20% on any new soundbar by using the code AWFUL at checkout. Makes a great Father's Day or birthday gift too. Zevox, because the dialogue in Pickleball Princess is way too important to miss.
All right, everybody, welcome to the first ever Writers' Room meeting for In the Blink of an Eye, in which we hopefully trick some people who want to watch a low-budget knockoff of Taken into being Christian.
All right.
Amen. And, of course, joining us in our writing team is Christian movie star David A.R. White.
I think it's just movie star.
It isn't.
And that, by the way, of course, is his lovely wife, Andrea Logan White.
Wait, for the time being.
Sorry. What, babe?
I just said cough.
No, I thought there were words in there.
Now, David, I understand you had some ideas for the movie.
Boat. Yes, boat.
I'm sorry?
I do have ideas for the movie. That's it. I like boats, so boat.
Okay.
And jet skis also.
So your ideas for the movie are boat and jet skis?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And maybe there could be like a sexy pop star lady who's like, you know, kind of into me because I saved her life and she's looking for a way to repay me.
Only if she's frumpy and she's clearly like a 36-year-old.
Fine. Yeah.
This movie is going to suck.
Threesome?
And we're back for the breakdown. And we're going to open up on a lady asking God to please help her. But I think we all know that the part of God will be played by David A.R. White in this instance.
Yeah.
This is the really like sweaty lady with her mascara running in the back. She's clearly in duress in this scene.
Yeah.
We want to make sure we establish that as much as possible.
Yeah, she's in duress. And then the problem of evil, the character is like, shut up. And he gags her.
Right. Well, and then like this VO comes up and it goes, how lazily can I exposit, guys? And answers, apparently this girl, Lindsay, is some kind of pop star.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
She has a character backstory that somebody may have written and we won't use necessarily because Sid Field says to do that. It doesn't matter. She's a pop star.
Hold on. I need to squint because I have to look at the screen on my BlackBerry to read it.
Yeah, exactly. So Davey and his cop partner, that this is Larry, they're driving around. They've got a tip about this missing, kidnapped pop star. He's reading about it on his BlackBerry.
Got a hot tip, guys.
Yeah.
And he goes like, do you think she's alive? And the partner goes, well, you got to have faith. And Davey goes, oh, do you always have to talk about religion every time we have a fucking conversation?
You shut the fuck.
Oh, that's us. Yeah. That's what we sound like.
Yeah. He knew what we were going to say. He knew already.
So to be clear, these are two cops looking for a kidnapping victim and they think they have a lead and they drive out to this weird trailer and they park right next to it. And then they have like a 3-minute conversation without getting out and investigating
about Jesus and shit. Yeah, right.
And then the moment they're about to finally get out, I want it to be like, Pip, Pip.
Oh, Fuck.
All right.
Fuck.
Denny's.
They should hurry.
And credits slowly roll.
I can go for a slam. Yeah.
Way
at
to
Denny's.
Go. But he sees a red shoe, right? So they know like something's up.
Yeah.
Then we see somebody like moving hastily in the dark behind him.
Yeah, so kidnappers do weird shit. They like to just sprint back and forth and be like, oh,
yes, yeah.
And, you know, just to taunt you a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But then he jumps off the roof onto David A. R. White. And as he does it, he yells, "You're trespassing!"
I love that he fucking crawls across gravel like Frankenstein in the background when he scurries. He's like,
yes, yes.
But he somehow climbs the rustiest trailer in existence without making a sound.
Yeah, right.
It's like a fucking ninja gate. He just throws his grappling hook up there and scurries up to the top.
So, but he gets David A.R. White. He shoots at Larry and he runs off.
Oh.
So they give chase. David turns the corner and immediately gets shot.
Totally catches one right in the chest. Worst cop ever. Worst cop awareness too ever. He like literally opens his body up like he's on the front of the boat in Titanic. He's just like, shoot me.
It's like he used to be a waiter and he's like, corner, pip.
Yeah, right. Right. So yeah, but he gets bloodlessly shot and now like Larry and the kidnapper are having a standoff, but David draws his gun and shoots him from the ground because it turns out that his BlackBerry stopped the bullet.
The old
Chekhov's phone.
BlackBerry in the breast pocket.
Yeah.
Really felt like an ad, like a product placement for BlackBerry.
Yeah. Right?
Felt like it should have been a Nokia, but
So, okay. So, but then we cut to like the crime scene now that all the backup has arrived and everything. And Larry is telling him, I think God had plans for you. I think that BlackBerry thing was a miracle. He's like, you only get to use that if it's a Bible, man. You can't just, everything can't be your guy.
The best part of this scene is when it first starts, there's a, you know, obviously the very slow 1 mile an hour that you're allowed to do on a studio set of the cop pulling in. And then you hear the siren that is clearly canned. And then they show a person talking to the lady who was just kidnapped. They're just talking and having a conversation. And then they pan over to David A.R. White. And him and the guy who's interrogating the lady who was just kidnapped are wearing the exact same t-shirt and the exact same coat and the exact same pants. They're in the, it's like,
it's a double
undercover cop uniform they have to wear together. Okay. It looks amazing.
So the reality of it is almost certainly this is his stunt double or something. And they just 100% need somebody.
Stunt double and extra in the credits.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And he does get to eat crafty.
I am detective number three. Well, thank you.
And what I love about it the most is that it just feels like, you know, like this character has a stalker, right? And he's like, what was David A.R. White wearing today? I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
I want to be cool like him. So, okay. So then Officer Captain Eric Roberts comes staggering into frame.
ER.
I think.
Love it.
Honestly, I think he's been in more GAM movies than any other actor at this point.
Yeah. I recognize him too. I think I've seen him in other movies too I've done here on this
show.
So
fucking many of our movies.
Yeah, and he immediately screams, like, you're a loose cannon. Give me a badge in your gun. Right, it's one of those moments where they're like,
hey, Captain, do you want some neat's foot oil for your face? You're very leathery. Just, I can make it a little more
you
supple.
You work it in every night.
Oof.
You put a rubber band around it.
You put yourself under your mattress with a baseball next to your face.
So, yeah, but Eric Roberts is mad at him for killing the bad guy. But he's okay because they saved the girl, right? Yeah. And then the pop star, the 35-year-old pop star's boyfriend shows up, right? And as he shows up, the captain goes, this guy is a criminal. I've been trying to nail him for years, is his character.
Yeah, and you're like, hey, Captain, he's standing
right next to you.
You realize you're telling me this. He's a foot away from you. That's because they can't block out the scene any differently.
Right,
they're on a very small set.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't change it,
So, but he's like, he comes up, he's like, thank you for helping my girlfriend and getting her rescued and everything. I wish there was some way I could repay you. Anyway.
You want to go on your yacht?
Okay. All right, man.
You asked, and that's my answer is your yacht.
Felt a lot like soliciting a bribe, didn't it? You know?
Oh, man. You know, the pro move is to ask for three more wishes anyway. That's stupid.
That's even better.
God.
I was going to say, I'm going to do this from now on. Like, you never think to do it when somebody's like, if there's anything I can do to help.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to, like, come up with very specific annoying shit.
Do you have a boat?
Yeah.
So
how much money is in your wallet right now, if you're being honest?
Counting credit cards.
You just quietly pull your wallet out and pull a condom out.
You have Venmo, right?
So he says, obviously. So he's like, you can come on my yacht. My private plane will pick you up on Thursday. And then he goes to leave, and David A.R. White turns to Captain Eric Roberts and says, I'll find out if he's doing any crimes on the yacht. That will be the plot of this movie.
Perfect.
It would have been awesome if one of these guys took the chief as their plus one. Oh, like, that would have been amazing, yeah. Right? That's how you get him in.
Oh, did we say plus one? Did we read the plus one? Okay.
So that was plus two, yeah. So then we cut to Davey and Larry pulling up at Kevin's private jet in their limousine or whatever. And they brought their wives with them because obviously David A.R. White's wife wanted to go on the yacht trip and also have that written off. But like, if the plot of the movie is that they think this guy's a criminal doing crimes, why the fuck would they bring their wives?
Wife with you?
Babe, do you want to go to a murder thingy? It's on a yacht, though.
We may have like a jet ski day. What do you say?
Yeah, no, they might have several
in
a row.
Yeah.
So, but then, we see them getting out with the wives and we're like, oh, yep, you can see that she hates him right now. Yeah. Now that you know.
Immediately hates him so much.
You can smell the hate through the movie.
You can just see it in her posture, how exhausted she is.
Yes. And then fucking 8 minutes and 42 seconds into the movie, the credits start. Like the title guy was like, oh, fuck, God, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. My alarm, I had set it for PM.
We also meet a very important character.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a very important character. We we are very much glossing over here.
I think his name's Ethan, which is a terrible pick for, he's supposed to be Kevin's rich friend and like music collaborator a little bit too.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But he gets,
hang around.
He pulls up next to the private jet in his fancy sports car, whatever. He gets out and he's got just the chin puff, like the big the goatee, but no top.
Big puffy chin.
It's a little one.
And I was like, Smash Mouth. It's Smash Mouth is in the movie. This is the best. You were Smash Mouth forever now.
Hey, now it's jet plane. Let's get it on.
So then they head to this yacht. Now, of course, the whole point of making this fucking movie is that they wanted a yacht, right? And they couldn't afford one, so they wrote it off with the movie. But it's the tiniest little yacht you've ever seen. It's just adorable.
It could make it on its own.
It's just Yachty McYacht face.
This is a yachtlet.
Yes,
it is.
Yes,
it is a yachtlet.
I mean, like legitimately, I have been on a bigger yacht in my lifetime, right?
Also, you've also seen the bedspread on the bed here because it's in every single like bed and breakfast in the United States because it hides stains real well.
Is this shiny? Is this Teflon?
Weird.
I guess it's good.
Grandma still left the plastic on the bed. Okay.
It's easier to clean. Right.
And there's also a little...
Just squeegee it off.
Like a montage of Mexican poverty, right? Where we see...
Oh, yeah. Out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And one guy, I think just a random... Somebody like video bombed this little moment. It was like, I'm a furry in Mexico. I have my mask on.
What the fuck was that?
And he just walks right through the scene.
Yeah.
So, okay, just two other notes on this and then we'll move on. Number one is that they shoot the yacht with a fisheye lens at one point to make it look bigger. And the second is the title for the fucking movie in the blink of an eye is in Times New Roman.
It totally is. 100%. I think they didn't even bother to like italicize it either. Nothing. It's just nothing.
Okay, so they get into their little mini yacht and the banter in this movie, just like when these writers are called upon to just have conversation in the film, it's always insane. Right? Because Smash Mouth goes like, so have you ever arrested any rap stars? Because rap stars are black and they get arrested a lot.
It's so racist, dude. That's not the last rap is bad reference. That'll lead into other things.
Yeah. Larry the cop is black, just for the record.
I know. He's like standing right there.
And then we meet Captain Brown, the captain of the yacht.
Mm.
Right? He shows Davey and Andrea to their room and she goes, oh, I wish I had this much room in my bedroom back home. And I'm like, oh, you wrote that line before you knew how small the yacht you were going to get was.
Yeah, it's a really cramped yacht.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wish I could touch the walls at home by reaching out my arms. Yeah.
I also wish our house was bigger in real life, David A.L. White.
When the captain came on, I first thought he was that judge from that one movie we watched where the guy who failed at ICE, whatever his name is.
I don't know,
Superman. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yep.
Dean Cain?
Yeah, Dean Cain.
That's what I thought it was. I was like, Dean Cain.
He's got some
he
Dean
looks
kind
of like him. He's kind of got the Dean Cain thing.
Yeah.
But he was heavy. I think Dean Cain was a little slimmer back.
Yeah, probably.
In the tens. Yeah, in the tens. Yeah, he was doing Superman.
So. Dean Cain is now, he's allergic to himself. It looks like an allergic reaction to himself.
It really does.
So, okay. So we get, they set out, we get Andrea and David standing on the bow, wondering if there's going to be a plot or anything. And that's when Kevin and Lindsay show up, the pop star and her boyfriend.
This is the best. The dude's eyes are like on each side of his head. I can't even describe how that guy looks when every time he's on the screen,
he looks like
fucking Jar Jar Binks. Like he has two eyes. One on either side, like you can't, he has 300, he's like goat, like you know how the goats have 360 degree vision or whatever? He's got like 360 degree vision. It's
like,
insane.
Like he was a prey animal.
Exactly. Like a prey animal for evolution. Yep. He evolved that way.
Yeah. So, but this is where we get our first opportunity to really meet the character of Lindsay, who still I don't think gets a single goddamn line.
They're like, we are a big fan of your song.
Yeah,
like they very specifically didn't even listen to any of her work.
David
Arrowhite, so mean.
Maybe she actually has like a song on YouTube once, and David Arrowhite in real life was like, "You're pretty stupid." My wife likes your song.
Yeah,
and Lindsay appreciates that, and she's nice to David Arrowhite for a second, and then Andrea Logan White gets mad. She's like, "Oh, it looks like you got a fan." Looks like you got a fan now. Looks like you're getting along real well with Lindsay.
Weird how much you like Lindsay and how much she likes you. I bet that's because she doesn't know you very well. So that evening, we get Larry's wife asking Kevin if he's ever done gospel music. Kevin is the boyfriend who is a music producer, right?
Why would you have the black girl ask that question? It feels automatically racist to start out.
It is.
Because it's the least racist thing, because everything else in the every other line in this scene is going to be
that
more
doesn't make it less racist
than this.
No. It's proximity to other racism does not make it less racist, Noah.
Yeah, you can't use mascot theory to get out of racism.
Oh, God. And then David A.R. White, just apropos of, they're like, we do more rap. And David A.R. White goes, I don't like how violent the people who listen to rap are.
Jesus Christ. As soon as I saw the same thing, my face, I was like, what the fuck? David A.R. White power. Am I right?
Yes, huh? Right. Oh, yeah. My God.
It's the worst. Smash Mouth is like, we do urban poetry.
Yes.
Actually.
Oh, in that case.
And then David A.R. White hears that in his own script and he gets mad and he's like, I'm doing hot takes about rap now in the rest of this script.
All right. So then the guy goes, well, you can't blame violence on rap music. Just look at Iran. They're violent and they don't have rap.
What?
But so much wrong with that scene. Of course they have fucking
so much,
rap.
Dude.
Why would they not have rap?
Out of nowhere. Oh, God, it was so good.
Iran's been putting out amazing Lego rap.
That's true.
Roasting the fuck out of the Trump administration. Yeah. They're really good at it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and then Davey's like, oh, you thought that line was racist? He goes, well, that's because nothing rhymes with death to America.
What?
And I'm like, Erica, dude. Like, she's all kind of, you're not even trying.
South America.
And also they'd be rapping in Farsi if it was Iran.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Oh, geez, it's so fucking weird.
Oh, it's so out of nowhere. It's just out of nowhere. They sit down and they're thinking, oh, it's going to be like a back and forth about God for a second. Because somebody's going to say God and the other people are going to be like, God, stupid.
Right.
And they'll be like, but God loves you. And then that's what I thought we was going to go to.
Right.
And they're like, oh, by the way, here's our geopolitical take out of nowhere.
Oh,
it's amazing.
And then it just like, as if they're just trying to line up bad takes for 2026.
This was amazing.
It was so good. Andrea goes, well, you know, it's really frightening to think of what would happen if the Iranian government got a nuclear missile.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, anything to prevent that, right? Yeah, what is happening?
We definitely want to do that.
And I think this is when Kevin,
yes,
the bad guy, to be clear,
yes,
is like, yeah, well, Israel's going to fly in and take out every nuke site they can. And I was like, yikes. And then the good guy, Larry, is like, I'm not so sure. I think Iran would probably start a world war and fight Israel and the United States, if anything.
Yes.
And I was like, what the fuck? This movie is... What's the opposite of psychic? It's like an anti-psychic movie, which is kind of a power if you use it right. But
so much all won't. Caps in the notes at this point. Yeah.
It's so bad. The person who wrote the movie has to fake a call to get out of the fucking conversation.
Ring, ring. I gotta go, guys. Yeah.
Sorry, I gotta take this.
Yeah, Davey gets a call from Eric Roberts. And Eric tells him at this point that, like, he thinks that Kevin knows the guy who is the kidnapper, right? And he's like, I think he has something to do with it. And they're like, oh, will that ever matter to the movies? Like, it's just shocking how little anything will matter to this
movie. It's so little. It's just...
But then fucking Andrea follows him out and she's like, really? You're taking phone calls while we're on a yacht? And he's like, why would I not take phone calls?
I have to work in this movie, Andrea. We're in a
Don't
movie
talk
now.
Talk to people on phones who aren't me. So, and again, this is his lines, right? At the end of a shaky marriage, yeah. But then he's like, she storms off and Kevin comes out, right? And so the two of them are left alone. And Davey has to subtly hint that he now knows that Kevin is acquainted with the kidnapper before the kidnapping. And he goes, so you knew the kidnapper before the kidnapping?
Worst poker face
subtle
ever.
Way to keep it subtle,
amazing.
Man.
Amazing.
Unreal.
Amazing.
So, okay. So that night, I shit you not, we cut to Davey and Larry playing checkers.
Fucking amazing.
They chose checkers.
I think, honestly, they've tried to do chess in Christian movies before, including David Arryt, I'm sure. And people were like, dude, what the fuck was wrong with that chessboard? So they were like, checkers is easier to set up. You just put them on the square. It doesn't, right? It doesn't matter.
The problem is that the chessboard they're using is so well loved, it's warped.
Yep.
So if you see, it's like, it's literally, it cannot sit, like it can't sit on the table. It's constantly, he set a piece and it just goes right to the center.
Yeah, the piece gets kinged just by placing it somewhere else. But the checkerboard's warped, like, you know that one penthouse you had that you found in the woods as a teenager? That's
keep it topical, man. Keep it topical. Yeah.
Yeah. The chessboard opens and it's hard to open. It's stuck together. Right. Like, you're like, why is that doing that?
The other thing, too, is that they're not sitting across from each other. So they're apparently playing 90-degree checker and they haven't turned the board at all.
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. So fucking dumb.
The board just spins naturally because of the warp. It's just always.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a lazy Susan
can't
game
stop
of checkers.
It's just spinning around. Yeah. But they're talking about Davey's marriage and how it's not going great.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, you're just never going to make your wife happy with your secular ways. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Christian people who devote their life to Jesus always have good marriages. You're right. This movie is anti-psychic.
We like our marriage being alive. We like our marriage being alive.
So, okay. But as they're having this conversation in another room, the wives are having a conversation where Suzette, that's Larry's wife, is telling Lori, that's Davey's wife, how she needs to become Christian in order to be happy. Right?
Here's a piece of this where they're talking. I mean, she's very sort of whispery in this scene to tell her friend about Jesus. But there is a part of this where she says, she's like, you can't just say you love Jesus. You have to confess it with your mouth. And I was like, what does that mean?
What?
That sounds a little late night. Like Jesus standing there is like, I would forgive you, but
confess it with your mouth.
You gotta confess with your mouth.
You know what they say? It's not a religion, it's a relationship. You know what I mean? Come on. Get in there.
Oh, Jesus, man.
So yeah, but Suzette tells L'Oreal, we have this goddamn conversation, which we have a lot in Christian movies, but all the time in David Arryt movies that they love so much, where she has this whole, like, you know, who is this Jesus character of whom you speak, right? She's like, you know, but Jesus died for your sins. And Lori's like, well, I haven't done anything that bad.
Yeah.
You know,
like, great line.
Yes. Great answer. Like, I've done some mildly bad shit in my life, but nothing remotely on the level of torture a guy to death and repentance for it.
My accountant sometimes takes deductions they shouldn't. Yeah, okay, well, there you go. Okay, that's well, the that worst case. I've done for jet skis and yachts. But other than that, it's nothing else.
But Suzette goes like, well, I think you're forgetting about that time that lady ate that apple. And she's like, oh, right, my period. Oh, yeah. Yes.
God, it's so slow, these stupid Bible talking scenes. The movie screeches to a halt. Yes. Every time. Yes. All the movies we do have these long-ass moments, like the worst possible wedding speech ever inside a movie several times. Yes. On purpose. And you just have to be like, 2.5 speed. I wish we could do this at weddings. Fuck.
Yeah, right.
And you wish that they would try to convert somebody who is not so easily converted. Like, I wish Smash Mouth was in the room with
right.
him at that point. And she was whisper talking to him. And he was just like, dude, I want to do drugs right now. Yes. And then he wanders off. That would be more realistic.
Yeah, exactly. But instead, she tells her all about John 3:16. Oh, we cut back to Larry and Davey long enough for their Big Bang jokes.
Oh, the big, oh yeah. That's
I live
it.
In
yeah. I don't believe in a Big Bang. I believe in a Big Bam.
Yes.
Bam, there's the universe. Yes. Wow. Like,
man, that's what Big crush Bang it. Means too.
Amazing.
So stupid.
It's a different onomatopoeia you use. Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, David makes one checkers move, but out of the frame because they wanted to hedge it in case yeah, it didn't right, make right, sense.
Because
yeah,
they've thing.
Heard us talk about him playing chess before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, but Andrea wants to be Christian. So she weepily prays for peace and thanks Jesus for dying on the cross for her. And then Larry wins at the checkers.
Yeah. And as he's walking out, he's like, hey, you know, you have a good night. And then he says something about the cross on his arm, which is obviously a cross, right? It's 100% tattoo, a cross with a sharp end on the bottom. He's like, it's a dagger. And then he stomps
it's manly. Off. It's a manly thing.
It's a fake dagger tattoo.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If we wait for the plot to break out before we take a break, the advertisers are going to complain. So we're going to take a break right here. But we'll be back in a minute with even more of In the Blink of an Eye.
No, the other way around.
I thought you said the crest should be on the left.
No, it's based on the bearer's perspective, not the viewer's perspective.
Oh, okay. That's confusing.
And stop calling it the crest. It's a coat of arms. The crest is just the eagle part.
Okay,
this is
so confusing. There's
so
much.
Hey, guys.
It's not.
Guys, what you doing?
Well, I'm trying to train Heath on the fine art of heraldry, Noah, but it's really not going so great, actually.
Okay. Why?
Well, apparently putting red directly on a blue field is like a sin or something?
Oh, it's the only rule of tincture, Heath. The golden rule of heraldry?
Okay, see?
The one I said.
No, I meant, why are you learning heraldry?
Oh, because all the hidden fees and price hikes on my cell service. I just can't afford to communicate like I'm in the 21st century anymore. So I'm going old school.
Yeah, no, that follows logically and all, but why don't you just try Mint Mobile?
Oh, what's Mint Mobile?
It's premium wireless service for just $15 a month.
$15 a month? What's the catch?
That's what I asked, but it turns out that there isn't one. No gimmicks, no gotchas, just unlimited talk, text, and data, fast, reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network, and an award-winning care team. Not sure which awards, but they won awards. Since switching to Mint, I've been getting the same coverage I'm used to for a fraction of the price.
But can I bring my same phone and my number?
You sure can. You can even choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans.
All right, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/scam. That's mintmobile.com/scam. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/scam. That's it. There's no catch. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigs on the unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right, awesome. It'll be so much cheaper to ignore Eli's messages now. Mm-hmm. That's good.
You guys want to send him pictures of all of us having fun together without him?
I sure do.
Oh, yes.
Let's get the waiter in here.
He'll cry, probably. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the writer's room. Today, we're going to put together the first scene on the yacht. The yachtlet. We've got David and Lori, Larry and Suzette, Kevin and Lindsay, and the Smash Mouth. And they're going to have some witty banter about important political issues of the day. So what are we thinking for that?
Rap music is fucking dumb.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Mm. Thank you.
I only like it when rural people rhyme stuff.
Same. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rap's dumb. Got it. We'll have the bad guys like rap.
Mm. Yeah, we can have Kevin and Smash Mouth mention how they do like urban poetry, and then David and Larry can totally roast urban poetry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you know people from Iran physically can't rhyme?
I heard about that. Yeah.
No, that is a true fact about Iran and its people. That's real. And we'll definitely work that in. Also, remember, we want to set up Larry as like a wise character who can kind of see into the future using his wisdom. You know what I mean?
I heard you can calculate the end of the world and it's happening in September of 2015.
Hmm. Oh, is that because of the blood moons, right?
Exactly, the blood moons, yeah.
Nice, nice. Okay, Larry can correctly predict the apocalypse for September of 2015. That's definitely going to happen. So what else?
Okay, maybe a finance tip. There's a Madoff investment fund that never loses, never. He could talk about that.
Okay, Madoff investment fund, writing that down. Can't lose. Good. Okay, got it.
The UK should leave the EU, and that would make them a bunch more money.
I've always said that they should call it UKEXIT.
Great, okay. Yeah, UKEXIT. Smart economics, just definitely smart thing to do. What about maybe one more?
Iran is going to start a giant war against the United States and Israel because a diplomatic deal about Iran's nuclear program would be impossible, right?
That would be impossible. It would be. That is perfect. This is great banter to establish the characters. I think we nailed it.
Hey.
Yeah.
The women haven't said anything for the whole scene. Mm-hmm. Should we write anything for them? Or?
No.
We should not.
That's stupid. Sorry, I said it.
Get the fuck out.
Make me a sandwich. And we're back for the breakdown, and we're going to open up on a scene that wouldn't even be worth talking about if it wasn't going to be the opening of this movie's time loop, right? But it starts with Lori now waking David A.R. White up the following morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she does the thing like she's right up really close to him and waking him up, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like serial killer wake up.
You just wake up and you're like, oh my God, you're so close to my face, and you're sharp. This is a danger.
Are you sleeping? Yeah, it's incredible.
Jesus Christ. And we get this close-up of David's face, too, and his beard is rough. He looks like he's getting like chemo and radiation, but only on beard somehow, and it's all patchy.
Jesus Christ.
It's like either shave or don't, man. You can't just quit hedging your bets.
He has beard cancer.
So he goes in the bathroom so that we can see him shirtless. He's still fit. He's looking pretty good.
They have to do this every time. Every single time he wakes up, he does the exact same thing. He's like, kind of like, I'm not flexing my pecs. What are you talking about?
You're flexing my pecs.
You're flexing your pecs.
I keep my arms up like this.
I always hold my arms at this angle.
I always have my arms up.
Stupid.
He's got to turn to the side.
There's no sagging.
Yeah, he's got to turn to the side to see his bruise or whatever. So that really flexes the abs
really
a little
does,
bit.
Yeah. And they did a good job of coloring in those abs and making a little shadow underneath each one. They did a good job. Yeah. Solid makeup work, I think.
So then, he comes out of the bathroom. He finds Lori Jesus journaling, right? Journaling. Now, she doesn't tell him at this point that she's become Christian, right? That's important.
Mm.
But he gets a call from Captain Eric Roberts.
And this is a moment in every cop drama where if they mention Interpol, you have to finish your drink. You just have to, 100%.
You're right. So,
I do it either way.
Yeah.
So he gets this phone call where he's like, I don't know anything that I didn't know before. Weird that I'd be calling you. Bye.
Have a great time with your international criminal on board.
Yes, with your wife.
No worries.
And your friend and his wife. So they go outside and Larry and Suzette are in a little dinghy and they're like, hey, we're going to head off to Bird Island and do some sightseeing. Right?
Yeah. And then they're like, you want to come along? And his wife looks at David A.R. White and does the very obvious, holds her hand next to her whispering, and she's like, pss, 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 yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nope, we fucking, later, yes, boys.
Yeah. Right. But what's actually happening there is like, we're going to fix our marriage by fucking this one time, probably, maybe. Yep. I'm not exactly sure.
I'm going to read my angry journal articles to you on an island.
Right. Actually, if we want to write off those jet skis, we have to use them for 6 minutes in the movies.
Yeah, right. Because we actually get just a jet ski montage.
Yes, we get a montage of them jet skiing around. Yeah.
Jet skis are so fun.
Okay, to be honest, yeah. Jet skis can fix a marriage. Like, you can't, you can't be unhappy. Like, that's the best.
Not one. Not a single jet ski. You need two jet skis to fix a marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. One will just make it worse. Yeah.
Yeah, one makes it worse.
But they go to this beach, and there's this moment where they run together on the beach, and he sort of tackles her into this.
They do scamper.
Blanket. Yeah, they scamper. But, yeah. And it's funny because he tackles her into this this towel, right?
Fucking spears her. It's like
too hard.
Shoulder.
It's too hard. Yeah. He tries to do the like tackle. Ah, oh, now we're tickling sex. And it all it's too hard on the tackle. And then the segue is too fast. And she's
he's
got
her in a headlock near the end of the thing. You're like, no, 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 no.
Well, what's amazing too is because I don't know about you guys, but I'm at 1.5 speed at this point. It looks like he just fucking refrigerator parried that woman.
Strokes her from the side.
Yes.
Like you hear the ESPN boom. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
jacked up.
She, you know, she says, you know, but I love you more now than I did before because I'm, well, she doesn't explain that again. She doesn't explain that she's Christian, but she explains it's like she loves him more now and she's had an epiphany or whatever.
Yeah, she says it backwards though because she has CTE from the tackle.
No, well, so obviously, right, yeah. But she brought sandwiches and he's like, I was not thinking sandwiches. I mean, I wasn't even thinking roast beef, but
exactly.
I wasn't thinking ham and turkey.
We can do and sandwiches. I'm up with that.
Yeah, right. Well, what's funny is if you imagine this scene as just him thinking he's going to get laid over and over again and not getting laid, it's amazing, right?
Because it's a way better movie.
I do think of it like that.
Right, and then she's like, and then he's like, well, you know, you want to lay back, and she's like, and play some frisbee. Yes, let's play some frisbee.
Fuck, come on.
Oh, I'm just going to put my hands behind my head and lay back like this with me. And she's like, all right, I'll go look for seashells. Will you take a nap?
What if I put my penis right here? And then we do crochet together. God damn it. What?
And then he can't leave the island because his balls are so blue.
Right, can't get back on the jet ski. Yeah, honey, I'm going to need both
jet skis. Gets the jet ski back on his balls. He's just the whole way just bouncing.
So, okay. So, but then he falls asleep on the beach and he wakes up to his watch alarm going off. Mm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wakes up and he looks around for 1 second, does not see Lori, and immediately panics.
Yes.
And then runs to his jet ski as fast as he can.
Lori?
The best part about that Lori screams, though, is they are at room tone. So he's just like, Lori.
Right, yeah.
Hey, Lori.
Right.
Lori. Hey, Lori. And you're like, you're riding a jet ski on the ocean.
Are you shaking and cat food? Yeah. I don't think she's going to hear that.
Well,
she's underwater.
You rubbing your fingers together? Well,
there's also this amazing bit. Okay, so we see her footprints on the beach just end. Mm. And we've seen 300.
Only one set of footprints, too.
Right? Yeah.
She got kidnapped by somebody who flies.
Oh, yeah. Right. But of course, it's Heath and I have seen 300 David A.R. White movies. We know immediately, this is The Rapture. But I wasn't sure if Cecil knew that. And as he's jet skiing back to the yacht, we see her bathing suit floating in the water. And I'm like, I wonder what Cecil thinks is going on here now.
I didn't catch that it was The Rapture until the second time around.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't know that this was The Rapture. I was just like, I just thought she just left. I was like, I don't know where the fuck she is.
It.
I don't know. And then when I saw the thing in there, I was like, oh, maybe she's getting busy with Smash Mouth. Maybe
that would
her and Smash Mouth are, you know what I mean?
But no, she's floating up to heaven naked, according to their canon.
Yeah. With Larry and his wife, too, because when he gets back
to
the yacht.
They're obviously both naked, too.
Right. Yeah. When he gets back to the yacht, Smash Mouth tells him that Larry and Suzette are missing as well, right? He was on Bird Island when there was a sudden flash of light and they disappeared. Weird that he didn't mention that their clothes were still there.
That was a crazy addition you just added. There was a sudden flash of light and they disappeared. You saw that happen?
No.
That's why they're not here?
So he didn't actually see them disappear. Like they had gone around the corner and there's a flash of light and he says, and the earth shook. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, and there was an earthquake, right?
Wow.
And he's like, I was with the boat the whole time and I was listening. Nobody asked, but I was listening to Kevin's Slap and Bops, the urban poetry, by the way. And everybody's like, are you doing an alibi right now?
Well, and then Captain Brown is like, well, maybe since it's your wife and your friends, maybe you're an abusive piece of shit. And they all work this out as a way to get you away from her.
I love how they all immediately like start speculating exactly what you're like, and then they immediately blame David Ayer.
Right away.
Like, it's all your
fault. Yeah, I mean, that seems like the right way to go.
I mean, really, honestly, of all the people.
Maybe your wife hates you because the vibes have been crazy on the set of this movie that we're in.
So Davey runs back to the room looking for clues. And I know that that's what he's supposed to be doing. But for a second, it looks like he's checking to see if maybe Lori is in one of those drawers. Right?
Thing is it's a room you can touch either side of. So he can't really search much of
right,
it.
Right.
Because when you walk in it, you're just like, yep. Nobody's in here. Yes. And then that's the end of the entire search. So he's got to pretend to do something.
Yeah, looking for clues. So then he goes to Larry and Suzette's room, which is the same room, but mirrored, you know. And Lindsay is just following him from room to room the whole time, you know, trying to figure out what it is. Now, at the same time that this is all going on, for whatever reason, the radio is not working. Or actually, the radio is working. Right, because every time they turn on the radio, we can vaguely hear people going, "Oh fuck, there's some kind of
screaming.
Rabbi going
on. Fucking God, I'm dying out here."
Yeah,
it's fucking amazing.
So, like, crimes are happening right next to radios.
Yes,
oh, it's so good. But what the best part about that whole thing is, they turn the radio on, you just hear, "Fuck, oh my God, oh, where is everybody?" And they're like, "Nope, nothing."
Yeah, radio's
they just
not
shut
working.
The radio
yeah.
off.
They're like, "This is the Amelia Rose."
Clearly, that's
Amelia
nothing.
Rose I test. Can hear the same sound. We're all right here.
I'm so tribulated.
Oh, so good.
So yeah, but then we get Davey. He goes back to the island where Lori disappears, stomping around looking for clues there.
Oh yeah. So he jumps on the jet ski again because they got to get some more time on the jet ski.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And he does a donut before he leaves.
Yes.
Like, he might as well, like, dive slide across the hood of the jet ski and then fall into the water and be like, well, that was nothing. Shit. Just give me a second. Give me a second. Oh, this is hard to climb back onto. Can throw me a rope. Throw me a rope.
Oh, God.
So then we pad the runtime a little bit by him like remembering the last several scenes, right?
Best part is he gets to the island and then he just walks to where the blanket is and they take a couple of golden hour shots and then he falls down and goes to sleep.
He takes a nap.
You're like, all right, well, that was an exhaustive search.
I was like, man, you had a nap this afternoon.
That's not what they mean by exhaustive search when you take a nap afterwards. It's not the same thing.
I like that he gets back to their spot and he sees the Frisbee and he picks it up for a second and he mopes with a Frisbee.
Oh, he's like,
and
he's like fucking this Frisbee.
Is an acting choice right now.
Right? Because it takes a good actor to mope with a Frisbee, but
this is his Hamlet skull, right? It's holding it in his hand. The Frisbee.
So he falls asleep on the blanket and Groundhog Days his way back to Lori waking him up that morning. Ooh, so take two.
Kill me.
Okay, if you're in a Groundhog Day scenario and you know it now, I guess he doesn't know it for sure, but if you were in that scenario and you knew it, would you be able to just like go to sleep whenever you want to like redo it?
I don't know.
Is that... Yeah, is that the like mechanic?
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be hard to fall asleep that long. So he checks his silly bruises and he shows us his abs some more, right? Mm-hmm. She journals some more. And then he's like, hey, I had this weird dream that's obviously about the rapture, but I won't figure that out for an insanely long time. And then she has this like, I'm sorry for being such a bitch in our real marriage, in real life kind of a monologue.
Oh my God.
This is the ultimate adjudication of the like, couples therapy that David writes for this. And he has her say in the script, sorry for being so cold.
Yes.
This is my fault. You are validated in our relationship, basically. Almost exactly.
I want to start over.
She's looking at the script. She's like, do you really want me to say, I'm sorry my period blood ruins everything out loud? Like, you want me to say that?
You wrote that?
That feels...
You typed that.
Why?
I don't know,
why,
David.
So, yeah. So the... I'm sorry. I just saw that Cecil's first note upon realizing this was a Groundhog Day situation was, oh, God, someone kill me.
I couldn't help myself. As soon as I saw it, I was like... She's like, David, I was like, oh, fuck, no, don't do this to me. I don't want to do this over again.
I'm waking up in a scenario where I have to watch David Ayer White movies over and over.
Think if you guys got Groundhog Day.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty funny if we just start the podcast on like the last scene right now.
Oh,
just
yeah, there you go.
Clip it in a few times.
See how long it takes everybody to figure it out. Yeah. So, but David goes upstairs and he grabs the picnic basket and he's like, I can predict what kind of sandwiches are in there. And everybody's like, nobody gives a shit, man.
He holds an envelope up to his head really quick, like Karnak.
And then, turkey and ham. Got you. He's like, oh, those are, that's pretty easy guesses. We're not going to give you a bologna.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So yeah, and then he talks to Smash Mouth, right? And he's like, hey, when you guys go to Bird Island with Larry and Suzette today, make sure that nobody gets, you know, raptured. Just keep an eye on them the whole time. Don't let them disappear on you.
Smash Mouth's like, chill out, dude. What the fuck, dude, you're bro? So and then weird. He runs away. Yeah. It's so weird. Their interaction is crazy.
So, and then they walk outside. Larry's out there. He's like, man, you got to give God thanks on days like these. And like, oh, really? What do you have to say to him when the weather sucks? Yeah.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, right. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the butt sex. I'm sorry. So, but then, okay, then we replay the Larry and Suzette leaving scene. We get more jet ski B-roll. Because, you know, they just going to buy him outright course, if they need him for six absolutely. Or more minutes.
David A.R. White in real life keeps cutting off Andrea Logan White during the jet ski montage. And she has to slow down. He's such a fucking asshole.
He's a total dick.
But he takes her to a different beach this time.
Right? Different Clever. Spot. That fuck you, Destiny. It's slightly down the beach, so it won't work.
Yeah.
Or I'll find something out.
So yeah, so they're having their bummer of a fucking picnic. The wind is way too strong for them to film this scene, but they filmed it anyway, right?
And she's like babying the whole time. She's like, do you want a blankie? Are you hungry in your tum-tum?
Yeah, right.
Do you want a baba? Would you like nappies? She's like asking him all these questions. Like, this is an adult, right?
Yeah.
This is an adult human being.
Exactly. But he's like, hey, you know, just point blank. Are you going to disappear later this afternoon with Larry and Suzette in a flash of light with an earthquake? And she's like, fucking what?
Sorry, what?
What are you talking about?
Okay, follow-up question. Do you ever think about leaving me in our marriage together? It's so rough.
And then she has to lie to him.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Acting.
But then they have this ridiculous talking past each other moment where she wants to tell him that she's become a Christian, but he suspects that she's been with another man, right? And then she's going to run off on him. And so he goes, is there someone else? And she goes, yeah. And it's Jesus, but she doesn't immediately follow up.
Is it Kevin Sorbo? I swear to God, if it's Kevin Sorbo, I will go crazy right now.
The pause is perfect. It's so perfect.
So, but before she can answer Eric Roberts' calls.
Is it Dean Cain? You have to tell me if it's Dean Cain. We were in a movie together.
So he takes the call from Eric Roberts. I'm like, weird that you would take the call right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a fight right now.
Also, so the phones work. Earlier they were like, no phones, no radio, but the phones work. He's taking a phone call.
Well, remember he forgot his phone. There was a really like conspicuous line where he's like, I can't believe I forgot my phone in the first
go-round.
Oh,
did they work it out? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Withdrawn. Good
this
writing.
Is really, yes, very well written movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so he tells him this time that Kevin is a money, the pop star's boyfriend is a money launderer. And then while he's taking the phone call, Lori jet skis away because he can go fuck himself, in fact.
Yeah.
Lori, no, there's a free will groundhog day thing happening. Oh, she's gone. Fuck.
Well, so he jumps
on. And he has to chase her.
Yeah, he's chasing on his jet ski and everything. But then his watch alarm goes off and apparently it is set to rapture.
It is. Yeah. Hey, Siri, tell me when the rapture happens.
Tell me 3 minutes before. Actually, it would be way more useful. But yeah, but then like as he's chasing her, she disappears and her clothes are floating around again because you go to the rapture naked for movie purposes. So he goes back to the yacht. We play this scene out again, right?
Yeah.
He tells Kevin to call for Larry and Suzette, but of course they've been raptured as well. And he's like, everybody's gone. And he's like, well, you know, your fucking yacht captain is a kidnapper. I heard that in the last scene. That's Eric Roberts also said that.
And his response is the best. He's like, well, that's why I hired him, because I hire the best. Yeah. And you're just like, what is happening
now? Because he's a kidnapper. The best people, the best kidnappers experience.
Right.
Think.
So, yeah. But then we cut back to them trying to get the radio. We've got the people yelling in the background again.
Help! Help nope, nothing, guys. No, can't get anything. Yeah. Sorry.
Like one of the people.
The strangled cries. That's all I'm getting. I don't know. Is that static? What is right. that?
One of the yells in the radio at this point is end of the world. End of the world is here. What would that look like? So, I mean.
Admittedly, I did get it was the rapture a little earlier than the end of the world.
Oh, okay.
I,
well, just a little just in case,
just a little earlier.
Do you think we're in the tribulation one where we have 7 years? I don't know. It's the end of the world, close, something.
Is that an insect with armor on it? What is that? That thing has too many horns.
It doesn't make sense for the number of crowns that it has. Where would the other three even go? So,
is this canon?
All right, but so he goes outside to huff about everybody being missing, and Lindsay catches him out on the deck, right? Or sorry, he goes, he's like, hey, do you think prophetic dreams are real, or is that like just a lazy plot device? And she's like,
oh, do you mean like in Groundhog Day? Yes, those are real.
Yes.
For sure. That's her answer.
She goes, dreams of mystery, I think they're called. And I'm like, what?
The exact words, dreams of mystery.
What?
The fuck does that mean?
I no fucking clue. But I feel like a lot of times I feel like David A. R. White is, you know, he's not talking to us, so maybe it doesn't matter if we
for
don't
sure,
know.
Yeah. For sure.
So then we have this, like, Smash Mouth gets back without Larry and Suzette, and we have the, you know, did your wife leave you to be a Christian thruple with Larry and Suzette scene again, right? But this time they get into a fight.
We get some David A. R. White wrist control karate.
We do.
Slow motion, damp wrist control karate.
Fuck yeah.
Phenomenal.
So he gets the gun. He runs off to take more pills because, you know, nobody in a movie who has ever taken a pill isn't dangerously addicted to them. I guess. Yeah.
He's having like severe ibuprofen withdrawal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know he's the baddest because he crunches the ibuprofen and then twists his head a little when he takes it.
That's how you know it's bad. He goes to search the room again and he goes, I've done this before. There's nothing here. And I'm like, who are you talking to, David?
Also, you can touch the wall. Yes, of course, you've searched the room. You walked in.
You can't help but search that room.
You could search it from the other side of the wall. It'd be fine. There's nothing in here.
So she's like, you know, Lindsay follows him in and he's like, hey, is there anywhere on the yacht where Lori might be hiding? And I'm like, you saw her vanish, man.
Why would you think that?
It's such a weird thing.
On the yachtlet.
Yeah. So he goes to try the radio again. A huge percent of this movie is just people chattering into rapture nonsense.
This time we actually get somebody yelling, I think it might be nuclear weapons. Yes. I'm not sure. Like, we hear the nuke theory.
The
now.
Actual line is, I think it was nukes.
Yeah.
So, but then Kevin sneaks up behind David and knocks him unconscious, and then they kill him and throw him overboard.
Mm, yeah.
Right. And then in, because he fucking rogue lights back to the beginning and he's waking up again.
Oh, yeah. If you can't fall asleep, you can just like shoot yourself. And
get right. No, that'll get you there. Yeah. And Lori's waking him up again and he goes, hey, what happened to you yesterday? And I'm like, come on, man. You still haven't figured this out. It's a whole fucking plot.
The whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. He seems to be pretty sure now that he's like, no, Groundhog Day things are real for sure. Mm-hmm. This is a real dream of mystery because I learned about this during my last
previous
dream of mystery.
Right. Mystery. Yeah.
Right. But she doesn't believe him. But then he predicts exactly what's going to happen when Eric Roberts calls. He writes down exactly what Eric Roberts is going to say.
Oh, yeah. Checkmate.
Mm. But the thing he writes down is, try enjoying yourself while you're on vacation, which is such a generic line. Like, why wouldn't it be something weirder that they'd have him write down?
Exactly. Right?
Like, that could just be, if that was just a prediction.
That's he just writes amazing. Down like, hey, David, it's Captain Jones.
Right, you know, yes.
Like, just, goodbye.
Right. Talk to you later. Yeah. Huh?
So long.
Yeah. So, but then he goes back and he psychics the sandwiches for her as further evidence. And I'm like, we already had that. Evidence, man. You got to do different shit. But then, like, he goes outside and he's like, instead of going to Bird Island, Larry and Suzette, I want you to come with us this time. Right?
Smart.
Yeah, and Larry and Suzette are like, finally, that fucking
rapture.
Foursome.
That's how you do it.
That we came here for, but no.
Yeah.
Well, Threesome, David, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, right, right, exactly.
Well, we're gonna tag in Smash Mouth for you. Yeah,
do you know what? You can do donuts in the jet ski.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds fun. All right. Well, we've been through this shit enough that everybody deserves a break now. But first, let me give Act 3 the hard sell. Will the same thing happen again? Will it happen again after that?
Yes.
Will it happen again after that?
Ugh.
Find out the answers to this question over and over again when we return for the idiotic conclusions, plural of, in the blink of an eye.
David A.R. White? Blink! I was rooting for a Ned Ryerson so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so absolutely good.
My God, they all vanished.
What the fuck we gotta do?
We need help. Someone.
Hey. Okay. No, I know. It's crazy. I'll get on the radio. Everybody relax. Just give me a second to fire up the radio. Okay. Okay, got it.
Okay. Oh my God, our friends vanished.
We need fucking help.
Please, for the love of God. Wait, sorry. I wasn't holding the button down.
Oh, do you have to actually hold the button down?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the only way when you hold it. It's the only way it goes out.
I think you do have to hold it.
All
right, we're going to try it again. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Okay. Holding the button.
Oh my God, our friends vanished. This is really bad.
What do you mean? Fucking hell.
Please, for the love of God. Wait. Oh my God. This is so bad. My finger slipped off the button.
Dude.
Finger slipped off.
Seriously?
Let's try it again.
Come on.
Sorry, I just had wings. I'm wiping off the hands, wiping off the fingers.
You and your wings.
Just give me a second. Okay. All right. I will not.
You think the sauce would make it stickier?
It depends on the sauce, but yes, this is a good point. Okay. I think I got it. Also, we're going to get back on in a second. Do you think we should give more information?
Oh, right.
On the radio?
Yeah. No, like maybe we could be useful.
Maybe we could speculate about what happened.
Yeah. Let's throw out some guesses at least. So,
guesses.
What are we thinking? What happened?
It feels like a rapture.
Oh, maybe a nuclear holocaust.
I was actually thinking the exact same things. Got to be one of those two, right? It's definitely one of those two. So we'll mention both. Let's mention both.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. Got it.
Okay. I'm pressing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Oh my God, our friends all vanished.
We need fucking help.
Probably was a rapture.
Well, maybe it was nukes, too.
Please, for the love of God, help. And cut. I think we got it.
Oh, that was good stuff.
We helped everybody.
Yeah. Nice. And we're back for still more of this shit. We're going to rejoin the gang all showing up to the beach together. Right?
Yeah.
Now, once again, Lori wants to tell David A.R. White about her Christianity, but it has to wait until after the rapture again, right? Because in order to keep the plot going.
Yeah. And just a tiny little moment, she's like, hey, Dave, sorry I keep divorcing you in your psychic dreams.
It's the best. He says, I don't know what's going on, but I think Kevin is behind it. And I'm like, you think Kevin stuck you in a time loop?
How does that work?
Do you think is going on?
I feel like David A.R. White, the real person, watches this movie he made over and over, and he's like, I think I'm a fucking psychic. Like, I'm a real psychic. I called this. I knew she was going to divorce me.
I called nukes in Iran. Yep. I called her divorce.
Exactly. So yeah, and then he's like, no, look, he knew the guy that kidnapped Lindsay. You know, there's a picture of the two of them together. And I'm like, you're focused on the wrong thing, man. You're in a time loop.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, you're all going to vanish. And Larry and Suzette are like, okay, whatever. We're going to wander off. Promise not to vanish. But then that leaves Larry and David A.R. White alone, right? And this is where Larry explains that he thinks maybe this is a God thing.
God does actually do dreams of mystery.
I've read that in
a couple of sources.
Dreams, I've heard that before. Dreams of mystery.
You know who's a great source for stuff on this? John Hagee. He predicts the shit out of things. He's on point with predictions.
Man, I thought we were done with war crimes when we mentioned Iran.
Yeah, right.
But no, John Hagee's going to make an appearance.
He goes, I've been reading this book by John Hagee. Have you ever heard of The Rapture? And of course, David A. R. Wright goes, no, I have not. I have somehow managed to make it as American in 2009.
Without ever having heard
about this goddamn Rapture thing.
Jesus, man.
Larry goes, well, you know, since 1948, several prophecies have come to pass. And he goes, well, what's significant about 1948? He says, the rebirth of Israel. And he goes,
yeah, prophecies don't actually work unless Israel's a nation. Don't be stupid,
yeah, right,
David.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Hold on. Don't they have to get like a perfect red cow or something that has like no crimps in his hair?
No, do they have that? You don't know.
Yeah, when you get that, it's like that little tab you pull up for the batteries to get something to work. That's
right,
how
yeah,
it is.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but Davey's like, rapture, smapture, we got to go. Yeah. He grabs Lori and he goes to drag her away, which is amazing in 1.5 speed.
Dude, it's so good. He trucks her earlier and then here he like literally pulls her arm out of her socket as she grabs her.
Yeah. So yeah, so he hustles him back to the boat and Lori's like, you know, like, let me help you be a Christian. And I'm like, you've been a Christian for 8 fucking seconds, yeah, right? You don't know anything yet. He's like, I got to figure out what God's doing with all this stuff. And she's like, well, you can't figure out God's plan. It's too mysterious.
It's a dream of mystery. Thank you very much.
Also, so let me just really drill down on how little attention they're paying to their own fucking movie, right? Because then at this point, Eric Roberts calls and they try to do a funny Groundhog Day moment, right? Because Eric Roberts calls and he goes, you haven't found anything. You're checking with Interpol. I got it. And he hangs up. Right. So that's supposed to be like he predicted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not what Eric Roberts was calling about at this point in the movie. Right.
That's the previous scene.
Right. Yeah. Yes. This is the call where he tells him that the guy, the captain of the boat was involved in a kidnapping and that Kevin was a money launderer.
That's right.
God doesn't do classical continuity sometimes. He's very
mysterious.
Amazing. I didn't catch that either until you just said it.
I love that too. And it's better for the line, right? Because if he, otherwise he's calling just to say, you don't know anything. If he picks up the phone and he goes, you know, you've discovered that Kevin is a money launderer and Captain Brown was involved in a kidnapping and hangs up, the line works so much better, too.
Yeah, so much better.
Fucking lazy dumbasses. Okay.
You could just scroll up on the Word document.
Yes, you realize that. You can read your own words.
Everybody
yes.
hands down. No questions about the time loop, please.
Oh, you know it's what it is. Loop. David's realized that if he reads what he's written, he'll just kill himself. He's not allowed to. So, yeah. You know, Lori at this point says, you know, maybe everything would be fine if you were a Christian, you weren't taking pills. And I'm like, he's taking pain medicine for like getting shot, right? Like that's what we've established. He's got this, looks like his ribs look like he's been hit by a fucking truck. Like he's like taking Tylenol. What the fuck are you talking about? And then she's got this great moment. She's like, hey, why do you keep dreaming of me disappearing? Are you subconsciously trying to get rid of me? And I'm like, okay, well, now in retrospect, that's fucking hilarious.
It's a psychic defense mechanism. You don't know.
Right, right. Okay, so then she locks herself in their stateroom, right? And we have this weird moment where what David wants to do now is he wants to gather everybody together right before the rapture happens so that all the people can see everybody disappear, right? So all the people who don't get raptured, that is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But we don't know that that's what he's doing. And it takes a really long time. And there's like 31 steps to this process of getting everyone in the same room.
Like one guy keeps leaving the room and coming back empty handed. He's like, no, go back out and get the other guy.
Yeah, right. For a different reason.
And that guy spins around in a circle 3 times and then leaves. It's awesome. It's like he's like a lost Roomba. He just doesn't know what to do with his body in the scene.
Right. So, but eventually he gets everybody in the room together and his wristwatch goes off to let us know that the rapture is about to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everybody disappears. And he's like, see, everybody disappeared. And they're like, well, we think you did it, obviously. So you just brought us all in here under false pretenses.
Yeah. Smash Mouth is like, you guys heard he had a rapture alarm on his watch, right? Like, that is ridiculous.
Why would he have it set for this time, guys? And I'm like,
why does it say prepare for rapture in 3, 2, 1 before it goes off? Why does it do that?
So then Davey goes out onto the deck to talk to himself about how crazy he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Captain Brown shows up with a shotgun this time, right? And he's like, what happened? How did you make all your friends disappear? And so he tells him about the time loop, right? And so, I'm sorry, I have to pluck this little gem of dialogue out of the script directly.
The dialogue in here is the worst dialogue ever written by a human being.
It's so fucking bad. Like, we deserve AI if we're going to allow this to be written,
absolutely,
right?
100%.
This is the actual exchange. Kevin says to David Ayoade, he says, "What's going on?" And David says, "Your guess is as good as mine." And Kevin says, "What if I guess you're behind it?" And David says, "Then it would be a bad guess."
What?
That's
why would you write?
Why would you write that down and not?
You just want to roll the script up and hit him in the nose with it, like he's a bad dog.
I've written myself into a corner. I wrote to myself. What the fuck? You just delete that. Do something else.
You're in a time loop. You can just start over again in the movie. So Davey and the captain start wrestling for the shotgun. And it goes off, and wouldn't you know it, Lindsay gets shot in the scuffle.
Oh, yeah. And then Smash Mouth forgets his lines because he keeps screaming, "You shot her," over and over and over again.
Yeah. He's trying to, like, act it better each time.
Yes, right. Like, right, like he's workshopping.
Like he thought they were going to take the best one.
The pretzels making me thirsty?
You shot her. No. You shot her. No.
No.
You stupid. Shot her? No. But guys, use the first one.
So bad.
He rushes up to Lindsay as she's dying and she goes, "It's okay. It's all part of God's plan. I'm becoming Christian now." And he's like, "What?" She's like, "I saw it in Larry's notes." He's like, "What?"
Sorry, I'm not allowed to comprehend things.
Yeah.
It's in the script. It says it right here.
This is Larry the cop's, like, cop notebook thing where you would write down, you know, leads and clues and stuff. And he also wrote down, like,
John 3:16.
Rapture question mark?
Right. And then so she dies and Kevin's like, "How dare you? You killed my girlfriend." And he goes, "You wanted her dead. That's why you hired that dude to go kidnap her." And that's literally his line.
Then he's like, "Yep, that's what you're right."
He confesses immediately.
This is like a end of a CSI episode where I'm supposed to confess to you. Yeah, it's so like in the script and everything. So
no, he's like, "Yeah, no, you're right. I did it." And he's like, "Why?" And he's like, "Because her music would sell better if she was dead." And I'm like, "That doesn't she'd be able to sell more albums.
She could make music than do other stuff. That's also
famous after she dies, right?
Oh, yeah. Right?
You know, you can definitely keep getting milk after you kill the cow.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
Absolutely. It won't even struggle anymore. So,
yeah.
So Davey holds everybody at gunpoint while he looks over Larry's notes to see what, you know, he wrote about this rapture shit.
And he reads them out loud.
Sure.
Yep.
Making everybody listen with at gunpoint. He's like, "I shall now recite it from this notebook." It's the best.
And Kevin is in a snit, like his mom made him come the whole time. You know, he's just sitting there all grumpy and shit. Also, Smash Mouth is pretending to be handcuffed.
Yeah, he is. He's not handcuffed. He
And there's nobody had handcuffs or anything.
Hey, I handcuffed all of you, right? Yeah, no. I thought for a second I was like, did I handcuff the last one?
Yeah.
Did I turn the oven off? Okay.
Back up while I read this out loud to you again.
But the captain guy, he gets the gun and he's like, "Wait, don't shoot." David Arrowhead's like, "Don't shoot me. I think I've got it." And he's like, "I don't care." And he shoots him, right?
I thought to myself, if the movie ended right now and the credits roll, that's the greatest movie ever made. This would be in my top 10. I'd be like, okay, Godfather, this, then Shawshank Redemption.
Sure, okay.
I'd be like, all right, yeah.
I think all I have to do to go to heaven is convert, blam.
Yes.
Then he dies and it's over. Amazing. Would have been an amazing movie, but this movie.
No, it's a coward. No, we get him waking up at the beginning of the time loop again. But this time he knows what he needs to do. Right. So his wife's like, "David, wake up." And he goes, "I know this is going to sound weird, but could you get me a Bible?"
It does sound weird. Yes,
it does. So we cut to him having explained the plot to her again. And, you know, like we conveniently explain away how he knows so much Christian shit because, you know, he read Larry's Bible one time. It was open on the desk and those Bibles are just irresistible to us atheists.
You know when you walk into a room and like just the Bible, the movie's on, and you're like,
let me sit down and watch at least a few scenes. Yeah. So then he goes to Larry and he tells Larry about his dreams too. And Larry tells him it's a dream prophecy again. Mm-hmm. And he goes, do you want to become a Christian? And he's like, no, we're trying to hit an hour and a half runtime. We're not going to get there, but we're trying at least. So then he goes off to the island with Lori on the jet skis again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're jet skiing with more sexual chemistry.
Absolutely.
This time, yes. Now he's kind of biblical and he gets it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Being biblical makes your wife want to fuck you this movie.
Right. Yeah. It worked for David A.R. White. Yeah.
Sure did. Limited time only, but yes.
But then we cut to her, like him having told her now about Larry, having told him about God, having told the prophets about the rapture or whatever. So many of the scenes in this movie start with everybody going like, so that's, now I'm all caught up, huh?
I'm all caught up now. Yeah.
I want to be clear. David A.R. White explains what's happening here, and what's happening, according to the movie, is it's, yes, definitely a dream-based prophecy from God, and the God of the universe needed 5 tries.
Yes. So far.
To make it work.
And counting, yeah. But David's learned something here today. And just as he goes to explain it, we get the rapture beeps.
But
he hasn't invited Jesus into his heart yet. So she's going, he goes to grab her like he can snatch her back from Jesus just in time.
It's the best.
So good.
Because he hears the alarm going off and he's like, wait, what the fuck? I laughed so hard. Because the rapture was going to like jump ahead of him by a little bit.
I explained too much. I'll explain a little bit less next time.
God is like Lucy with the football for Christian people.
Really,
all the time. It's the greatest.
He looks at this guy and he goes, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, dude. I know that. I'm a fucking atheist.
He's trying so hard to cry on camera. He's trying as hard as he can.
If he managed to tear at all, it was for his inability to actually summon a tear. Yeah.
Think about 50% ownership of PureFlix, buddy.
Yeah, right.
I'll make you cry.
So he wakes up at the beginning of the time loop again. And I want to point out that this time in the time loop, she's dressed different.
Oh, I didn't catch this.
Yeah, so up until this point, every time Andrea Logan White wakes him up, she's in a very conservative bathing suit, right? And she will be in that for the rest, like all of the movie, right? Because it's a time loop. So over and over again. And believe me, I think it was less conservative the first time that he wrote it, right? But at this point, she's just in a wetsuit because like the actress is I'm done with this shit, right?
Oh, they just forgot. That's amazing.
That's right. There's a wetsuit in this one.
She's like, no, the time loop's different this time. He's like, how could the time loop be different? She's like, the time loop's fucking different. Yeah.
Hands down, no questions about time
God
loops.
Damn it, said that. Yes. But he apologizes for all the bad things that he's ever done.
Sorry, quick question. Mm-hmm. Did his bruise get better during one of the time loop
wake-ups? The makeup was too bad on it for us to tell for sure, but I think it was supposed to be that the bruise was getting better every time.
Oh, okay.
Right? We kept seeing it over and over again.
So for a second, I was like, is the bruise like the Inception top? His character in this thing?
I think it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So he goes to get the Bible. He apologizes for all the bad things he's ever done. And he goes to Larry, and then we get the real Christian fantasy, right? Where he's like, hey, Larry, I just want to thank you for always bothering me about Jesus, no matter what the conversation was, for all that time. I know I told you over and over again that I fucking hated you and I wanted you to die, but in reality, I'm actually really happy that you did that every time we ever spoke.
This technically is a blanket apology for everything. I'm just taking out my 12-step program list to get into heaven. Yeah. Check.
Yeah.
That's on record.
And then there is like, sorry, but you need to confess with your mouth.
Yeah, right.
True forgiveness from me.
So he's like, well, you know, what you need now is a personal relationship with Jesus.
Who will also make you confess with your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. So then they pray together on the side of the bed like a couple of 6-year-olds, right? I can't believe 2 grown-ass men are doing this.
So cute.
Suzette comes in.
They just took a bath. And they came out. Their hair's still wet.
And Suzette comes out. You know, she sees them Christianing and she smiles knowingly.
Aww.
Right? She congratulates him on becoming Christian. So then he rushes off because he's got to quick Christianize Lindsay while there's still time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Right. And he's like, hey, I have this Bible passage for you to read that's going to turn you Christian right away.
I love the trick of highlighting a Bible passage to trick someone into getting raptured up out the Jesus.
Right.
Like, all you have to do is read these magic words, but I can't tell you what they are. But if you read them, it's like fucking reading that space Superman villain's name backwards, right, or whatever. Mixed
spit lick or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fuck, I said it.
Yeah. God damn it.
So yeah, but it's John 3:16. She reads John 3:16 and weeps with joy.
You want me to say Beetlejuice three times? What? Is that what you said? Three times in a row?
I don't think so. But yeah, he goes to catch up with Lori, and there's this great moment where she's like, well, you know, Larry and Suzette got bored of waiting for you, so they've left. And the reason for that is because the movie has to end with the two of them alone together.
Uh-huh.
But like, it creates this amazing image of where, like, he's finally joined Larry's religion, right? After years and years of, and they're all going to go together to have some fun. And like 9 seconds later, he's like, fuck, I'm not waiting for this asshole. Let's just, I got seals to take pictures of. It's like,
anyway, see you guys later.
Yeah.
And go to Bird Island.
And then, okay, so he's like, all right, let's go jet ski and get raptured. But first he's got to get a call from Eric Roberts.
Oh, yeah. One last Eric Roberts scene.
Yeah. He goes, hey, you sent me an email about how I should become a Christian. I'm not going to, though.
Hey,
all of us
this
would
is your
reply
boss.
The same way.
Yep.
I'm your boss. Don't send me religious propaganda. You're fired.
Right.
Credits.
You actually have a meeting with HR.
Yes,
on
yeah, right. yeah. He goes, okay, no worries.
HR for cops. Come on. Yeah, what are we talking about here? That's stupid.
He goes, enjoy the tribulation and don't take the mark. And Eric Roberts is like, who's Mark? And then we get a sunset kiss rapture, right? Like Davey and Andrea Logan White, beautiful. Arm in arm.
Adorable.
I want to point out that the rapture up to this point had not been happening at sunset. It had been happening in the middle of the afternoon, but this time
middle of the afternoon.
It was in the evening.
But he didn't know when it happened because he left his watch on board.
Oh, that must
so
be
it's
it,
like
yeah.
a whole thing. Right, you know, right. You don't know when it's gonna happen.
Sometimes when you're editing, you forget to link the audio and the video when you're God, and then it gets off the sync.
A little bit, yeah. Then we cut to Eric Roberts having not gotten raptured, and we meet, I think, the guys from those radios, right?
Yeah. Because
everybody's standing around going, it looks like a nuke. Oh my God, it's the end of the world.
One guy's got his hands above his head and he ran in a circle. It's like, ah!
So, and then we cut and we see that Lindsay made it out too, in case you were worried.
Lindsay made it.
She became Christian at the last possible second.
We know Lindsay made it out because at the end, the guy with the eyes on either side of his head is like, anybody seen Lindsay? And I can see everything.
Yeah.
I can see anywhere at all times. And I can't see her.
Yeah. But that's it. That's the film. And I guess that's going to do it for our review of In the Blink of an Eye. But it's not going to do it for the episode just yet because we still need to start this time loop over again. So Heath, tell us what's on deck.
Well, speaking of fucking time loops, we're going to be watching another David A.R. White movie.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is called Mercy Streets.
Oh, I bet it's going to be amazing. All right. So with more David A.R. White to look forward to, we're going to bring episode 560 to a merciful close. Once again, a huge thanks to Cecil for helping us out today. And be sure to check the show notes to hear more from him. And an equally huge thanks to all the Patreon donors that help make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/godawful and thereby earn early access to an ad-free version of every episode. You can also help a ton by leaving a 5-star review and by sharing the show on all your various social media platforms. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathe, The Atheist, Citation Needed, D&D-, and The Skeptic Guide, available wherever podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Tim Robertson takes care of our social media. Our theme song was written and performed by Ryan Salatnik of Google Drive Sound Mars. All the other music was written and performed by our audio engineer, Morgan Clark, and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a chunk of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick, I'm an illusionist, promising to work hard to earn another chunk next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the American Graffiti close.
Eric Roberts clearly took the mark of the beast on his forehead because he's weird, and now he headbutts the scanner at checkout.
I hate to see it.
The yacht company did not return the deposit because of those stains on those sheets. That's all I'm saying.
Andrea Logan White would go on to take half that PureFlux money. You go, girl. You
amazing.
Go.
Amazing. She would.
Oh. That's real.
It's funny because it's true. This content is scanned credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm to their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. This podcast is a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC and was created without the use of generative AI. Its contents may not be used for AI training. Copyright 2026, all rights reserved.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.